Even with all her efforts, he did what my mother couldn't do. He did what my family couldn't do. He did what Oprah couldn't do. He did what Dr. Phil couldn't do. He did what no man could do. Amen? I love that song. No one else can do what he's done for me. And if he did it for me, I guarantee you he'll do it for you. Amen? Thank you for the good singing, kids. I appreciate it. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to two places with me. Get Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7, and hold your finger there. Romans chapter number 7. I want you to keep your Bibles out this morning. Be a little different than usual Sunday morning. I just want to be an encouragement to you. Romans chapter number 7. And then find Psalms 103. Romans chapter number 7 and then Psalms 103. Just hold Romans chapter number 7. We'll go back there in just a moment. Now, it's going to sound like a negative thought this morning, but I promise you, if you'll stay with me, it's not negative at all. Sometimes we've got to get the negative before we can get the positive. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to get the diagnosis that there is a problem before we can get to the cure. Amen. I'm not going to take medicine for the flu if I don't know I have the flu. Are y'all with me? Say amen. The more y'all talk to me, quicker we'll get out of here. Amen. I've been with Cajuns all week and they crazy. Amen. They holler at you all the whole time you preach. So y'all help me this morning. Sometimes we need to find out what the problem is before we can find the cure. Amen. Psalms 103. Are y'all there? Won't you look with me at one verse of Scripture this morning. Look at verse number 14, where the psalmist said, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are," somebody say it with me, "dust." Now that'll carry you right back to the creation story, where the Bible said God formed man out of the dust of the ground. They say that science even teaches that the 97 elements it takes to make up soil, that's the same thing it takes to make you. In other words, please take this kindly, you're a dirt bag this morning. Amen. You are a dirt bag that has been touched by God. Somebody say amen right there. You just look at your neighbor and say, you're just a good-looking piece of dust. That's all you are. Amen, amen. A little boy looked under his bed one day and he said, "Mama, didn't the Bible say we came from dust?" She said, "Yes, son." He said, "Well, there's somebody under my bed. I don't know if he's coming or going." Amen. He said, "He remembereth our frame and knoweth that we are dust," just dirt. Now, that's humbling, isn't it? Now, we get the idea that we want to think that we're some miraculous, spectacular, here I am world. But in reality, we're dirt. That's not encouraging. I want to go to church where the preacher tells me how good I am. You want a liar. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. Go back to Romans now in chapter number 7. We'll read one verse there. Now keep your Bibles. I want to show you something this morning that I hope will be a blessing. I want to see people get in this year. We've got a lot of people that sit on the pew and, hey, I don't take that for granted. If that's all you ever do is come on Sunday morning and sit on a pew, I am thankful for you. But I want to tell you there's more to it than that. I want to tell you that God has missing something in your life. There's something you're missing. There's a void. You may be trying to fill it with soccer and softball and t-ball and basketball. I don't know you might be trying to fill it up with deer hunting or fishing or vacationing or whatever it is. But there's a void in your life that nothing will fill outside the will of God. Hey, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing better than this. Amen. I'm having a good time this morning. Somebody said, if you could be doing anything you wanted to do this morning, what would you be doing? I'm doing it. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter number 7. Now, how many of you would agree that the Apostle Paul was a great man? Come on, y'all, talk to me. Well, would you even compare yourself to him? How many books of the Bible you wrote? As far as I can figure, I believe he wrote 13. Amen. That means I'm subscribing Hebrews to Paul. I believe he wrote it. Amen. 13 books of the Bible. This man was greatly, greatly, greatly used of God. Not only was, still is. Would you agree? He's fixing to be used again right now. But I want you to notice what Paul said about himself. Here's a man that has got the hand of God all over him. And here's what Paul says about himself, Romans chapter number 7. Look at verse number 18. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18. Paul said, "For I know that in me," now notice this next phrase, that is, "in my flesh." Now you need to get a good grip on that. When we talk about there being nothing good about us, we're talking about the flesh. There is something good in me, but it's not Eddie White. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," he said, "dwelleth no good thing." In other words, he said, there is nothing good about... Yeah, but Paul, you're writing 13 books of the Bible. Yeah, but within myself, there's nothing good. He said, "I'm unworthy, I'm unrighteous, I'm unholy, I don't deserve this, I was a blasphemer." He even called himself the chiefest among sinners. We probably got some wicked people sitting in here this morning, but you wouldn't admit it. And I got news for you, you're not going to be used of God till you're willing to admit it. And that's where I want to try to get you this morning. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes this morning about ordinary people and an extraordinary God. Ordinary people and an extraordinary God. You know, I can drive down the road on Sunday morning. Of course, I don't get to because I'm here. But if I left right now, Brother Freddie, and started touring our town, I could tell you the class of people inside a church by the cars in the parking lot. Would y'all agree to that? Have you ever been to church, maybe as a visitor, and you felt like everybody in there thought they were better than you? And by the way, just a little side note, I wonder how some of our bus children feel when they're here. I hope they don't get that feeling. Just because you've got nicer clothes on, just because you drove a car here instead of riding a bus, doesn't make you one iota better than one of them kids. But there are places, there are churches that seem to be for the elite. Here's what I want to present to you this morning. There are no elites. Let me say it again. There are no elites. Sinners upon sinners upon sinners upon sinners upon sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care if he has a doctorate degree. He's a sinner who has a degree. I don't care if he's a nuclear physicist. He's a nuclear physicist on his way to hell without Christ. A hobo standing at the end of I-20 on the ramp with a sign that says, "We'll work for food." He's in the same category as that nuclear physicist. Amen. That goes against the grain of what our country teaches us and what society tries to push on us. They take these little children when they're little and they get them in kindergarten and tell them how unique they are. You're not unique. Y'all okay? The only thing unique about you is your fingerprint print, and your DNA. That's it. Yes, sir. Somebody, you said, "But preacher, you preached one time, said God had a job to do, and he created me to do it." Yeah, but he created somebody just like you in case you won't. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is the furtherance of the gospel is not dependent on me, and it's not dependent on you. It's not I'm doing this so God, just so God can have some help that he so desperately needs. I'm doing this because it's an honor to do it for him. And if I choose not to do it, he'll find somebody to take my place and do it better. Amen. 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 I guarantee you there's somebody out there with more brains than you. There's somebody out there with more talent than you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Would you agree? Probably somebody out there better looking than me. I hadn't found them, but I'm sure they're there. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about vanity for a minute. Amen. Listen to me carefully. What I want you to understand is that we are ordinary people. You're just run of the mill. You don't like that. I know. I don't like it either. I would rather Joel smile real big and tell me how wonderful I am.
And how blessed
this earth is just to have me here. Oh, glory day, November 13th, 1964, the world has changed because Eddie White came into the world. No. Just another ordinary baby. Born in an ordinary family. few days and full of trouble. Are we okay this morning? I think God may use us when we get us in our rightful place. Hey, listen, now there's a good side to this. We are ordinary people, but we serve an extraordinary God. Let me say it again. We're ordinary people, but we serve an extraordinary God. Let me give you this little thing that I heard the other day, and this is exactly what I built the message on, was a statement. Somebody said there is a thing called dog and cat theology. Have you ever heard of that? Dog and cat theology. Here's what he said. He said, you go home and you open your door and your dog meets you. He's so excited he wets in the floor. He stands there and he wags his tail. And he's so glad to see you. And you start petting that dog and that dog says, wow, wow, I can't believe you love me like you do. You pet me, you feed me, you give me shelter. Wow, you must be God. That's dog theology. On the other hand, cat theology, you come home, your cat's sitting in your favorite recliner and says, come over here, I might let you pet me. And you start petting that cat says, and when it starts purring, let me tell you what it's saying. Wow, you must really love me. You pet me, you feed me, you give me shelter. Wow, I must be God. Does that make any sense? We got a lot of people in our churches that feel you need to be stroked because you're special. If God decides to use you or elevate you or give you a position or let you lead somebody to Christ, you think that's because you're so good. No, it's not. You're ordinary. But God is extraordinary this morning. And when we get a good bulldog grip on that, there is no telling what God would do with you and I. Ordinary people, extraordinary God. I don't want cat theology. That cat thinks he gets fed because he deserves it. Well, I'm going to leave it alone. We'll keep it a secret how I feel about cats. They're pretty good down to Chinese place. Are you like that dog? Are you so excited? I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Man, I'm just a dog. I'm just a dog. I ought to be in the pound somewhere. Hey, man, have you ever wondered how them old pound puppies feel? Somebody goes to pound, they're on the death sentence, man. They're just a few days away from the death chamber. They're fixing to get gassed, and some little kid comes in and says, I want that one. And that dog says, man, I can't believe it. I was on my way to doom. There was no hope for me. And thank God somebody came by and said, I'll take that one right there. I know I'm just a dog and I'm done deserving, but that owner is showing me love. He feeds me every day. He gives me caresses and he takes care of me and pets me, puts a roof over my head. Thank God I belong to him. That's the right attitude. I was just a hell-deserving sinner on my way to the death chamber, just old dog, but I'm glad one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came by the pound where I was and said, I like that one right there. I know he's ugly. I know he's the run of the litter, but I'll take him home and let him be mine. I might get excited. I mean, I just might come unglued this morning. Why? Because I realize how undeserving I am. I believe the people who realize they're dogs are more blessed than those that think they're cats. The cat expects more because it thinks it deserves it. The dog is to get every little thing he can. Amen. You remember the little lady who came asking a favor of the Lord, asking for a miracle? And he said, but you're a dog. And she said, but even the dogs, he's talking about she's a Gentile. And I don't see many Jews in here this morning, so are you. She said, but even the dogs get the crumbs out from under the master's table. He said, huh, you got a point there, sister. You got your answer. She said, yes, I am. Lord, you're right. I am a dog. I wish to God somebody would get on this altar this morning and say, God, you're right. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. Regardless of my education, regardless of my bank account, regardless of the car I drive or the house I live in, regardless of how much I put in the offering plate this morning, I'm just an old hell-deserving dog. And thank you, Lord, for being my master. Amen. God shows himself through the Bible using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Don't you go with me to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3 is not real hard to find. It's the second book of your Bible. Exodus chapter number 3. We doing all right this morning? Exodus chapter number 3. You know the story. Moses. The story of Moses. This is where he met God. Don't you know, so I'm just going to look at one verse of Scripture. We won't rehearse the whole story. Won't you look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 1? Now I'll probably read several verses. The Bible said, now Moses, y'all there? Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. I guess so. Why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now listen to me carefully. We're talking about an ordinary person. An ordinary person who met an extraordinary God. Did Moses do extraordinary things? Yes or no? Come on, did Moses do extraordinary things? Look at Moses' background. He was born in adversity. Born on the right side of the tracks in that day. He was born on the wrong side of the track because the people in the town where he lived and the community where they live, all the little boys his age was being murdered. Moses was born, the odds were stacked against him. I wonder if that's how some of our bus kids feel this morning. You ever get that feeling? You'll never be a successful at nothing. You're not worthy of doing anything for God. And you watch Brother Freddie and Brother Charles and myself, and you see God using us and working never use me. We've got people who come through our church that the world tells them God could never use. I'm on the radio, but I'm just going to get plumb controversy. Who you listening to? Who disqualified you, sir? God or man? I got to I'm not listening to people anymore. You've had trouble in your life don't mean you can no longer be used of God. Look, don't die on me. Don't die on me. I've had men come in my office and say, preacher, I want to be a part of your church and I want to serve God, but I know I'm unqualified to do anything because I've been divorced. Oh. Come on. Get off your high horse. In just case you're wondering, I've never been divorced. Thank God yet. Amen. Who qualifies people? Us or God? God does. People. Moses was as ordinary as they came. He was born in difficulty. It's a miracle that he was alive. It's a miracle. Evidently, Pharaoh's daughter had Pharaoh wrapped around her little finger. Mama put him in the little ark of bulrush and pushed him down the river. Little sister went and watched by. Her big sister went and watched by. Come back and said, oh, Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the river. Soon as Pharaoh saw that, he knew that was a Jew baby. He could have said, kill him. Oh, but that little girl batted her eyes. Oh, daddy, let me keep him. Let me keep him. Let me take care. I'll go find one of the women to feed him. Guess who she found? His own mother. Coincidence, you reckon? He didn't go to the Christian school. Y'all listening? He wasn't taught to sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. No, he was raised by the Egyptians. That's the type of the world. Ordinary. Ordinary. Chances are he'll never do anything for God. Well, one day he sees a soldier beating on a Jew, and he kills him. He goes from ordinary, being raised by the world, he's a fugitive. He's on the run in the backside of the desert taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Somebody said, Moses, what are you doing out here? Well, I'm just taking care of my father-in-law's sheep. What, man, is that the best you can do with your life? Man, isn't
that so ordinary? Don't you have higher expectations for yourself? No, you see, I don't talk lame.
I got this
speech impediment.
I got a past.
Yeah,
brother.
Yeah. I got some things in my past that I don't know. I'd just rather stay out here where nobody knows where I am.
Yeah, and
I'd rather stay back here and, you know, I'm comfortable right here just taking care of the sheep. And I believe he was. I don't believe he had aspirations. I don't believe he was walking every day looking for a bush. Is that bush on fire?
Is that bush on fire?
Is God in this bush? Is God in that bush? Where are you at, God? I don't think he was.
Amen.
I think he was satisfied. I think he felt blessed to be where he was. He got him a wife. He got him a job. Why can't you be satisfied with that? You got a good wife and a good job, you better thank God every day. Every single day, you better be thankful, amen? Moses, don't you expect more? No, I'm good. That's the people God uses. Don't you look at Moses' attitude when God tells him he wants to use him. Look down there at verse number 11. Here's what Moses said unto God. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Then he goes on to make excuse after excuse. And that's like us. That's the right attitude. That's the right. When God called me to preach, I didn't think, finally, you've come to your senses.
Amen.
I believe some people really feel that way, Brother Fred. Like God's missing out because they're not in his lineup. Y'all okay? God said, I want you to preach. And I said, me? I'm ordinary. I've never spoken in front of people. I'm not a public speaker. I haven't went to Bible school. I don't have a Bible education. I hadn't been to Bible college. I got a wife and children. I can't leave and go now. God, you don't want me to preach? And God said, yeah, I do. Ordinary. Moses, just an ordinary man doing an ordinary job, born in an ordinary family, an ordinary life. Here he is on the backside of the desert doing an ordinary thing, but he runs head on into an extraordinary God. It's kind of like Reese's peanut butter cup. You got plain old chocolate and plain old peanut butter. Y'all remember that? Remember that commercial, you got your chocolate and my peanut butter? No, you got your peanut butter on my chocolate. Man, they're both, you put them together. You put ordinary people and ordinary God together, we're getting somewhere. But before, hey, God knows he's extraordinary. There's no doubt about that. And you know that he's extraordinary. And I know that he's extraordinary. But what we got to come to grips with is that we're just ordinary. We don't serve God, and we're not used of God because we deserve to be. We serve God and are used of God because we get to be. Is this making any sense? Meow. That's what I hear coming out of some of y'all. That's what I hear. Oh, Brother Eddie, aren't you glad I'm here? Yeah, I am. More than that, I'm glad God's here. I'm glad I'm here because I don't deserve to be. Amen. I ought to be sitting on the back row of the balcony this morning, my head ducked just like this. Amen. That's what I deserve. That's the same thing Paul said. He said, man, I'm the chiefest among sinners. Amen. Ordinary. Are you ordinary?
Yes, sir.
I wonder if you'd be honest with yourself and say, I'm just ordinary. Boy, that's a good place to get.
Amen.
That's a good place to get.
Yes.
Do you feel real deserving of where God has you this morning? If you don't, that's a good place to be. Because when ordinary realizes it's ordinary, then extraordinary can come in. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but there's something beating down on the inside of my heart that is greater than me, and it's greater than you, and it's greater than the presidency of the United States. I'm talking about the extraordinary God that lives on the inside of me can do an extraordinary thing through an ordinary being. Amen. Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. I don't know if I marked that or not. I did. 1 Samuel. We doing okay this morning? I'm trying to encourage you this morning. I want to see you get in the race. I want to see you get in the fight. I'd like to see some of you on a bus route. I'd like to see some of you teaching a Sunday school class. I'd like to see some of you helping in the patch and the peewees, helping with the teenagers. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, look at me real good. Everybody at White Oak Springs knew me. Ain't that right, Brother Randy? Everybody, Brother Richard, you could holler real loud. Everybody knew me. Everybody knew about them Hank Williams Jr. concerts. Don't bow your head. Amen. Everybody knew me. They knew their past. Amen. And when they said Eddie White got saved, it was like, oh, yeah, right. Brother, I'll be honest with you. I was just glad to be there. I was just glad to be there. It's hard. It's hard to get saved and go serve God where everybody knows you. They know your past. They know all your trouble. That's what Moses said. Go to where? You want me to go back to... Don't you know my picture's in the post office down there? Last thing they heard out of me, I killed an Egyptian. They don't take that real good. Isn't it funny how God always makes you go back and face your past? I'm preaching to some of mine this morning. You all right? You want me to go back to Egypt? Yep, that's where I want you to go. David, little David, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Ordinary people who meet an extraordinary God. How many of you know about King David? How many of you know about Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Y'all listening? Would you say he was extraordinary? His life was extraordinary. But David was not extraordinary. Now I want you to watch this. The priest is coming to town, and he's looking for one to anoint a king. He comes to David's family, and he says, God sent me down here to anoint a king. Line your boys up out here. Soldiers. Men. Big, strong, and tall. And he goes to them one by one. And the Holy Ghost said, no, not him. Goes to the next one, Brother Charles, and looks him up and down. And he said, no, ain't him. Son by son, he checks them out. And, well, maybe God sent us to the wrong place. Maybe this ain't where we're supposed to be to find this boy. He said, well, on second thought, let me just ask you this question, Samuel said to Jesse. In verse number 11, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now watch this. Now he was ruddy, that means young, and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Would you say David was ordinary? I'd say he's less than ordinary. He was so less than ordinary, Brother Charles, that his own daddy didn't even include him in the group. His own daddy didn't see a sheep herder. That's about it. He's just a kid. He's not ready for what you're looking for. I just don't think he's qualified. If he'd have thought so, Jesse would have had David standing in front of the line.
Isn't it funny how we disqualify
what God qualifies?
Amen.
Well, I don't think God ever used me. Who are you? Who died and put you on the throne? It might blow your mind. But you never know. I doubt D.L. Moody's Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, as he went in that shoe store and witnessed to that young boy, I doubt he thought this is the next big thing. I can just see them. David, what you up to? Oh, I'm just watching these sheep. What you got there? Oh, it's just a harp. You can play the harp? Yeah, I play the harp. Who you playing the harp to? He said, I've just been writing some songs. Oh, you think you're going to get a recording contract? Oh, no, it's not like that. I've just been singing these songs to the Lord. You want to hear some of them? He said, I thought about how God was, I was watching these sheep, and I'm their shepherd, and how I look over them, take care of them. He said, I wrote this little song. I call it Psalms 23. Well, you want to hear it? Well, David, don't you have any higher hopes for that?
Art.
Ordinary. That anointing that came that day, what that anointing, Brother Charles, represents is the hand of God being placed upon his life.
Amen.
The only difference between ordinary and extraordinary is the touch of a mighty God.
Amen.
That is the only difference between you and greatness. You say, what do you mean greatness? You think I'm supposed to be an evangelist and travel the country? No, don't get me wrong. The will of God for your life, that is greatness.
Amen.
If it's if it's to be one who has a burden to fast for people, if it's a faithful person to hand out a gospel tract, and whatever it may be, whatever the will of God for your life is, that is spiritual greatness.
Amen.
We got this world we're living in. Oh, if you're a thousand, you're just... That's the biggest bunch of garbage I ever heard in my life. There was a certain church who puts out a certain publication. I ain't going to name them. I ought to. They used to call me every year, and I finally bit the poor lady's head off. I didn't mean to, but I did. I repented afterwards.
She called me every year.
Brother White, we're fixing to put out our yearly statistics, I guess you'd call it, whatever they call it, and we want to know how many you baptized this year. They're seeing who's better. And that's how they listed them, number one, number two, number three. I ain't in that game.
Well, you don't know.
I said, ma'am, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. She said, oh, surely you know. Get with your clerk and find out how many you baptized. Get back with us. I said, no, ma'am, I don't care if you know.
Yeah.
I said, you call me every year. Want to know how many people we had saved? I said, what are y'all doing? You keeping score?
Yeah.
I said, my scoreboard's in heaven. I'll see it when I get there. Y'all okay?
Yeah, good.
That's why we ain't got a scoreboard hanging up back here.
Yeah.
I don't want to get us caught up in numbers. I don't want to know that. Well, how'd Fullerville do this morning? Did we do better in Fullerville?
Yeah.
I hope Fullerville done better than us.
Yeah.
Y'all okay?
Yeah, that's
right. It's not a competition.
Amen.
They want to rank churches just because the size of it means it's better than another one. No, it don't. I know some little old bitty churches that you couldn't fit half our crowd in are better than some of the biggest churches I know. They're
more faithful.
There's a church I preach in Amarillo, Texas. The same people are there that's been coming for 20 years. Faithful. They show up for everything. There ain't but about 40 of them. Oh, you're getting the sword of the Lord if you run 1,000. I don't care.
Amen.
Y'all understand that? Read my lips. Yeah. I'm not in competition. I'm interested in ordinary people being used by an extraordinary God.
Yeah.
Say that again. I'm interested in ordinary people being used by an extraordinary God.
Yeah.
Jason Crow ain't here this morning. I don't know where he's at, but it thrills my soul to see an old crackhead come in here, get on fire for God, and care about people. He wants to go back and drag folks out of the mess he was in.
Yeah.
Woo! I like that. You said you're going to use somebody that used to be on drugs to reach people who are on drugs. Who understands them better?
Amen.
Who can empathize with a poor old drug addict who's in DTs trying to get over it?
Yeah. Amen.
I've never been on drugs. Here's my attitude. Bless God, quit. I like that. I like that stuff. This is just, let me explain to you a little bit about who we are. We want that crowd nobody else does.
Yeah.
We put them on the front row.
Yeah.
I ain't implying that, none of y'all. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
I want that crowd that walk in any other church and they go.
Yeah. Amen.
Who is that?
Amen, brother.
Did you see those tattoos?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Some of you look like you're going to vomit. God knows my heart. I mean this stuff.
Amen.
Sometimes these extraordinary people, they need a little more work.
They need a little more attention.
They're a little more rough around the edges. But thank God they're honest. Thank God they're moldable. That crowd that thinks they're all that in a bag of chips, you can't do nothing with them. Was just an ordinary kid doing an ordinary job. I wonder what that crowd that thought, listen to that boy out there singing them sheep. Oh, wait a minute. You mean this is what he's writing all the time? Wow. Wow. All these songs? Yeah. Just a little ordinary kid. Down there singing the sheep, doing just a lowly job. Quit complaining about your job. Just be faithful to it and watch what God will do.
Amen. Amen.
Get happy where you are.
Amen. Amen.
And watch what an extraordinary God will do. Let me tell you how extraordinary he was. You was lost and on your way to hell.
That's right.
You didn't deserve one bit of it. I was partying when he saved me. I wasn't at church. I hadn't been singing hymns. Nobody witnessed to me.
Amen,
I preacher.
Yeah.
I didn't deserve that.
Right.
I can understand God coming by the church where everybody's going to certain the Bible under their arm and says,
right.
There, he's one. No, man, he came by New Year's Eve party.
Right.
Hallelujah,
and said, look at that little ordinary boy right there.
Yeah.
Singing his heart out, can't sing a lick.
Yeah.
Wicked is all get out. I want him.
Yeah.
He's that pound puppy about to go to the gas chamber.
Yeah.
I'll take that one.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Yeah,
and we got a church full just like that. I wish we had time this morning, some of the leaders of our church, just to get up and give you their testimony. If you could sing Brother Freddie's past, he was a hippie. He really was a 70s, 80s hippie. He had long hair, parachute pants, played in a rock and roll band. God used him. And they didn't even go to church. Wasn't raised in church. Look at there. One of the best Sunday school teachers I've ever known.
Amen.
Cares about people as much as anybody I've ever known. Ordinary.
Amen.
And he's from Alabama.
Yeah.
And God said, watch this.
Amen.
Watch this.
Amen.
I know it's not a deep thing this morning. But I just want you to know that God can use ordinary people.
Amen.
We don't have to be born with a silver spoon in our mouth. We don't have to be born with an IQ of 160.
Amen.
I asked Brother Rusty during fellowship, I said, what's considered a high IQ? He said, if you have to ask, you don't have one. Amen. Y'all okay this morning?
Amen.
Of course, you know the story of David. You know, the sweet psalmist of Israel. An old mean spirit had come on, old evil spirit had come on, old Saul. He'd say, go get that little old boy playing that harp down yonder. Let him come in and drive these evil spirits away.
Yes.
One day that little ordinary kid was bringing lunch to his extraordinary brothers. Who were standing up on the mountain looking down in the valley at a giant with their knees knocking. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know he killed the giant. He became one of the greatest kings of Israel. Yeah, but he made mistakes, we all do. He repented and got right and went on, amen? Just an ordinary boy who met an extraordinary God. Go to Matthew chapter number 4 and I'll be done. Matthew chapter number 4. Maybe as ordinary as them all. One of the people I compare myself most to in the Bible. Not in the greatness that he achieved, but the past that he lived. Matthew chapter number 4, and verse number 18. The Bible said, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were," say it with me, "fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Uneducated, calloused hands, and probably didn't smell real good. I don't know if you've ever been into the docks when the fishing boats come in. It's not pleasant. Probably wasn't clean shaven, Brother Greg. He probably wasn't what you'd call a squared away. Mouthy. Everybody knew when Simon was around. Mouthy, loud mouth. Ordinary. Would it be okay maybe if we put Simon in the redneck category? That's just how I picture him. Just a good old boy. Y'all all right? Doing an ordinary job. But one day an extraordinary Savior came walking down the beach. "Hey sir, what are you doing?" "Well, we've been out fishing all day. We're just cleaning our nets and getting ready to go tomorrow. How about you follow me? I'll make you fishers of men." Amen. "But I'm just an ordinary fisherman, I know. You're the kind I'm looking for."
Yeah. Amen.
"I'm just an ordinary blue collar." Little did I know one day when Jesus came by where I was. "I'll let you go to Louisiana and preach, see 10 people get saved." Ordinary people who just happened to have a collision with an extraordinary God.
Amen.
I wonder if that's you. I wonder if it's time maybe you realize that you're not all that special. But there's this God who He is. Let's stand our feet this morning. You got to understand, around here we're not all big in the head because of what we do. We're just excited we get to do it. You're in a church full of ordinary people, Brother Todd. Y'all come and get us a song this morning.
I asked my wife last night to pray for me. So Lord, give me that all the way home yesterday. This was just building and building and building. I told her before we went into bed last night, I said, "You pray, Lord, let this come out like He wants it to, because it's all jumbled up in my head." There's somebody here this morning who needs to know God has a use for you. Maybe this world doesn't, but God does. As far as Moses was concerned, the world wanted to kill him, but God wanted to lift him up. How about you this morning? Are you sitting there thinking, "I have a desire to do this or that, but I'm just not qualified"? Well, why don't you just surrender to God this morning and see what He'd do? Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. I know it wasn't a salvation message, but it doesn't have to be. I wonder if there may be somebody here this morning say, "Preacher, I don't even know if I died right now if heaven would be my home. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you for 100% if I fell over right now I'd be in heaven. I can't tell you that. But if you could really know, I'd like to know." I wonder if there's somebody here. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you for nothing. If you just want to slip up your hand, say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me." Anybody? Honest, I'm just going to pray for you. God bless your heart. Honey, I see that hand. Is there any others? Preacher, please remember me. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to get this settled in my heart. Please remember me. Anybody? Don't raise your hands just yet, but I wonder if there's somebody who'd say, preacher, I realize that I'm just ordinary this morning. I don't deserve nothing that God's done in my life, but He sure has been good. Preacher, pray for me that God would use my ordinary self to do something extraordinary in His sight. Pray for me, preacher, that I'd be used of God. Just slip up your hand. Boy, that's all over the house. That ought to be all our desire. All our desire. Just to do something great for Him because He'd done something great for us. We're going to pray together this morning. But if you lifted your hand, you ought to just slip out of your seat and come on, pile up in this altar and ask God, can He do something with somebody as ordinary as you? Father, as we come before You again this morning, God, we thank You, Lord, for a good day. Lord, thank You for our people who are so faithful, God, to show up week after week. And Lord, do all the work behind the scenes, God. And Lord, they ought to get all the glory around here. And then, God, it ought just all go to You. But Lord, thank You for taking just a group of ordinary people and doing extraordinary things. God, You saw every hand that was raised this morning. You know every heart. Don't let anybody leave this place lost today. Lord, I pray right now during this invitation, hell would get so real. Lord, if they'd just make a beeline to this altar and get that thing settled in their heart. Lord, there's some this morning, no doubt You dealt with my heart all day. Lord, there's some ordinary men who are literally running from an extraordinary God. Lord, they know in their heart what You want them to do. God, they're just scared like I was. But Lord, help them to understand. Help them to surrender this morning. God, please just have Your way in this place. Father, we'll thank You. We'll praise You, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.